Let me make sure I put up the study, make it on the mic here, and do everything that needs to happen. Let me shrink this over here, and there's the study. Shabbat Shalom. Let's see, how do we get this off? Shabbat Shalom. Very good. It's good to be here today. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabad Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And it's the Sabbath of God. It's so beautiful to be here today. We haven't been here all week here at Hole in Wall. We were in Franklin, Tennessee. But we're back here in the country. This is real country once you leave the other place. And all the cars and all the things that are going on and the people and the action. And once you come out here, it's just like, wow, country. All I see is the young girl across the street playing, and that's all I see when I come out here. Maybe one day she'll wander over here and ask a question. But today's the Sabbath, and we're on Maple Street here in Hole in Wall, Tennessee. There's my email. You know, I've been emailing people, and no one emails me back. I don't get it. I guess, who knows? And there's our website. There's our phone numbers. I did get a text from a lady that's moved here from Hawaii to Nashville, but she's trying to get a vehicle. So we got to somehow get her here somehow one day. She said Shabbat Shalom, and I said Shabbat Shalom. Well, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study and this day. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Master of the universe, forgive us for any sin, any blemish, anything that would separate us from a holy God. Living God, I just thank and praise you for another Sabbath that we could go over your word and be nourished again by spiritually by your food that you give us. Give us the bread from heaven, living God. Bless and anoint this day. Bless everyone on the internet, everyone here, everyone in the body of Messiah throughout the world. I pray you'll send down healing upon their bodies, their minds, their souls, anything that we need, Father, because we're here to serve you. We're willing vessels to do anything you want us to do, Father. Show us where the souls are. We'll go get them or bring them here or however you want to do it, Lord and God. Just let it be known. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. And I thank God for every one of you. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua, the gift of God, the sacrifice, the only sacrifice there is. And may God be with you and guide you and help you in every endeavor in your life. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, here we are again, July 8th, 2017, the 21st century. Here we are. I've been adding that a lot lately, what century, because we had the opportunity to live in two centuries, the 20th century and the 21st. Most people don't have that opportunity, you know? But I don't know how long this time is going to go on, but we'll see. But today is July 8th, and there's what it's all about, Julius Caesar's month. Isn't that weird? We say that so easy, July, but it's really Julius Caesar's month. Julius Caesar reformed the Roman calendar, hence the Julian calendar, in 46 BC. In the process, he renamed the month after himself. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, yeah, I guess you'd do that if you're the leader, the ruler, the tyrant, whatever you are. However, we acknowledge the calendar of God. We're in the fourth month of God, which has no name, the 13th day. And last night, the moon was pretty lit up. You noticed that. Lights up the whole property around here, which you don't see in the city. Judaism calls this month Talmuz and some messianics, which is not true and not scriptural. And the only word Talmuz is in Ezekiel 8:14, and that's a pagan deity, of course, with ladies weeping for their little pagan god, Talmuz. It's a deity, a Sumerian deity, a Phoenician deity. So my ministry, again, is always to bring up subjects and topics that's probably Most likely. I don't hear them discussed in other churches. They just talk about how great you are and what a wonderful person you are, and God's got all these things for you. But we talk about many subjects in the Bible that are not discussed, and I try to undelete some things that are hidden. My website is running very well back there. I might have to shut it off today for a few minutes because I have to hook it back into the battery. But you, at the moment, you could read them, you could watch them, you could listen to them, you could even download them to your MP3 player. I believe we're streaming live right now on Real Player, and we're in the Pow Talk room, a little chat room that we've used for God, and that's the things we have going on. We have an ad in the local paper around here, Validity. We haven't received any phone calls or not even nothing from that, so we're trying to think of maybe we could do something different. I don't know, but we'll see. Haven't been invited anywhere lately. I always would love to come and teach the Hebrew roots of the faith from the scriptures. Haven't received any invitations lately. Make sure you pray and fast. It's really important. I do. I'm trying to get some souls here, and I'm trying to get someone. Something's got to change. But today's topic is, let's discuss the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay? And there it is right there. Karuv Mimshach Hasocha Socher Sochek. That's hard to say. Karuv Hasokek. Those two letters together at the end makes it very hard. But that's what that says in the Hebrew, and he's the anointed cherub. Minshach is something that's like anointed or that's consecrated or and Karuv is actually the cherub, you know. And we have the great dragon. Notice how he's called the great dragon. However, he's the old serpent called the devil and Satan. And I added he's also the tempter and the accuser. So you got to think about these things because he's an actual being that's on this planet. And he's not playing around. And there's the word covereth right there. Sakak. Sakak. It means to entwine as a screen, by implication, to fence in, to cover. And what we're talking about really, to protect or defend. That's what he was. He was a covering cherub. That's what that means. He defended or he protected. He hedged in. And he at one point, he was a shining thing, you know, a shining being that was created. And after he went around and did the same thing that happens on earth, he goes around and causes division. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. It wasn't too much of a fight, I suspect. And he prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So Satan was totally erased, like he never existed in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which at this point, even it was talking about the future, deceives the whole world. So he is able to deceive the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we have this covering cherub, who is no longer a covering cherub, but is now, you know, the son of darkness, you know, just a horrible creature. So what says right here in Revelation 12:12, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. That's the people in heaven that can rejoice. You know why? Because there's no more devil. Unfortunately, but it's woe to the inhabitants of the earth. People in heaven are rejoicing because there's no more devil. But now we have to worry because woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And of the sea, the devil has come down upon you having great wrath because he knows he had a short time. And to us, it might seem like, you know, life goes on and on and on and on and on and things keep continuing. One day, time will be no more. And Satan knows that. In Luke 10:17, it says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So now there's devils, multiple, you know. And Yeshua said unto them, I, Yeshua, beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he was there when Michael and his archangels fought against the dragon, and Satan was cast out. Yeshua beheld him fall from heaven like lightning. As lightning falls from heaven. And Peter got some information from, probably from the Lord, which we don't know how, but he definitely knows this. He says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So these angels that were up there that sinned along with Satan, I don't know how it works, but it sounds like they're not in a good place at this moment. They're not on this earth, but Satan is able to, I don't know how he does it, but he's able to have possess a lot of creatures and things, and he could cause a lot of catastrophe himself. And the angels, and Jude says the same thing, so there's two witnesses. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, that's the angels that sinned, he had reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So there's two different witnesses saying where the angels that sinned along with Satan are. And of course Yeshua must have gave them this information, because that's nowhere else in Scripture that I know of, right? And then, of course, after Satan comes down to the earth, he enters into this creature called the serpent, right? And the serpent must have been something God created. But Satan possessed him. And he was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? For the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So this serpent is possessed by Satan. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, like I wanted to be. I wanted to be God, knowing good and evil, you know. You know, Satan could do a lot of stuff, but I was thinking about this last night in my sleep. I was thinking, the only thing, obviously Satan can't create universes and planets, and we can't do things like that, because he's not God. He's just a created being. He's a spirit that he can affect us by possessing people and causing you to do things, but he can't, like, you know, create anything. He's not God. So I was thinking that many different things that he can't do. You know? Because it says, because thine heart, let's see. Now we'll go to Ezekiel, which is sort of going to read about the Prince of Tyrus and the King of Tyrus and the King of Babylon later. These three characters in time, how Satan is illuminating behind them, if you could almost picture it. And we're really talking about Satan, even though we're talking about them, because they have taken on the attributes of Satan. This is the word of Jehovah came unto Ezekiel. So here's the word of God. That's Yeshua. That's the word of God. Came unto me, saying, Son of man, go say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith Jehovah God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said that you're God, which is ridiculous. He says, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, but you're just a man, and not God, though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. O Mr. Prince of Tyrus, and you have the same attributes of Satan. And then we go back to Satan. Behold, you're wiser than Daniel. And this is a scary part right here. And there is no secret that they can hide from you. That's something to think about. So Satan is aware of a lot of things maybe we don't think about. There is no secret that they can hide from you. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and has gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. This is, you know, hypothetically speaking. By thy great wisdom and thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Obviously, a lot of people have taken on those attributes, right, in the world today. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah God, the Lord Jehovah, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon you, and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw these drawn swords against thee, against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the debts of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Will thou say before him that slays you, I am God? I don't think so. But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slays you. Amen. So we got this Prince of Tyrus has these attributes of Satan, but Satan is, you can see his, you can see what he's all about right behind him. Thou shalt die the debts of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord Jehovah, and there's none like me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this we're talking about the omnipotent God. This is God that creates and that is God. There's nothing like him. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, and the word of Jehovah shows up everywhere, and the word of God is God, and he shows up in some body form, speaking to Ezekiel, saying, son of man, I want you to take up a lamentation now to the king of Tyrus. Let's pass by the prince of Tyrus. Let's go to the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and beauty, and perfect in beauty. We just read, and I know you were in, you possessed that serpent. You were in the garden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that you were, you forgot, you were created. You're just a created entity. He's a created immortal being, not a human being, right? You are the anointed cherub that covers, that protects, that's supposed to, you know, defend. And God says, I have set you so. That's how come you're there. You were upon the holy mountain of God, somewhere that we don't know where that's at. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, right before the throne of God, wherever that is. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, if you forgot. Until, of course, that little thing called iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. So we have these immortal creatures that could sin. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. We have no knowledge of anything like this has ever happened before or any other thing has ever gone wrong that we know about in heaven. We don't know. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Reminds me of us. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. His sanctuaries. He was in charge of so many things. He was the covering cherub, whatever that means. He was the highest angel. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour you, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. Just think, he had so much traffic and business. You know, what that means is He went around, all around, very busily trying to deceive people and getting people to worship him by his traffic. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at you. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more in heaven or amongst the righteous. Amen. So we have one prophet God came to and spoke to, the word of the Lord, which is the Lord. And then we have another entity, or I should say the same entity, illuminating behind this other person, the king of Babylon. Jehovah, it says, for Jehovah will have mercy on Jacob, and he will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Jehovah for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Amen. And it shall come to pass in the day that Jehovah shall give thee rest from sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. So that's really good. But now we're going to take up a proverb against the king of Babylon, because he overstretched his reach and his tried to exalt himself above the stars, and say, how had the oppressed ceased, the golden city ceased? Jehovah had broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hinders. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir tree rejoices at you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you are laid down, no feller is come up against us. This is, sounds almost sarcastically, you know, because then it says, hell from beneath is moved to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, even all the chief ones of the earth, where they all end up, the chief ones end up in hell too. It had raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto you, art you become weak as us? How did you end up here? You tricked us and deceived us. How did you, are you become like unto us? Because he's going to end up with the rest of them that he deceived and tricked. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy vow, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread upon thee, and the worms cover you. Yeah. Those are real worms. How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That says, Ech nefalta mishamayim Hillel ben Shachar. There it is right there. How are you fallen from heaven, ben Shachar? Hillel ben Shachar. Hillel means in the Hebrew, if you parse it down to the Yud root, it means Yelel, which means wailing or howling, lamenting. Ben Shachar doesn't mean the son of the, just the son of the morning. It means the son of the blackness of the morning. Shachar is black. Shachar. Okay? He's the son of the blackness. Yeah. So the shining, amazing, curving cherub is now the son of the blackness of the morning. Oh, boy. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And that's something we can't underestimate. Because remember, earthlings, if you can deceive immortal beings, at least a third of them, we believe, what can he do to flesh? That's why he could trick all the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Could you imagine that? You can't even imagine that pomp and that pride and the epitome of saying something like that. Even though there has been some rulers and despots on the earth that said they were God, and they're no gods. It says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, until death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Now we're talking about the king of Babylon, which is also Satan. That did shake nations? Satan has done that to this planet, you know. That made the world as a wilderness, because there is no more God out there. And destroyed the cities thereof that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, shall lie in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that were slain, thrust through with a sword, and go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden on the foot or feet. It's quite a sentence. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. And the bottom line is, the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Amen. So we got this amazing covering cherub that nothing can be hidden from him, is now cast to the earth. Very crafty, wiser than Daniel, more subtle. He went into that serpent. He was more subtle than any creature that God made. You know, just to think of that, it's pretty amazing. Then years later, we have Satan, in Chronicles, stood up. He stood up against Israel. Could you imagine that? He has the power to stand up against Israel. And he actually provoked David to number Israel. And because of that, 70,000 people died. That's why we got to make sure. And that's somebody that's David. So that's why I was thinking, gosh, we better be careful. Because what can he do to us? He can provoke you to something else, or get you to, who knows what he can do. If Satan stands up against you and God allows it to happen, see what you're going to do. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, Jehovah beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroys, it's enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of Jehovah stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. That's where the temple was built later on in life. Right where 70 people would destroyed because of Satan and because of David listening to him. In the book of Revelation, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So this thing, Satan is working overtime to try to destroy our name before God and our testimony, but we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's why we have to keep our testimony strong and pure and clean, and we have to be careful. Then we have, even in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah says, showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Jehovah, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So Satan could stand trying, you know, he goes out of his way trying to resist everyone. The angel of Jehovah tries to resist David, tries to resist. Got to be careful. We're not to be, don't. That's why we shouldn't, you know, this study really gave me, that talk last night and the study I'm doing today gives me more of a awareness, you know, of the devil. He's not to be underestimated, and you have to be careful. And Jehovah said unto Satan, Jehovah rebuke you, O Satan, even Jehovah that had chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And then we have, of course, we see it. Satan came at David. He comes at all these people, the angel of Jehovah and Zechariah, and even Job. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, and here comes Satan, comes also. Satan comes also among them. That's why we have to be very careful. And you have to recognize Satan and rebuke him off of you or away from you. And Jehovah said unto Satan, why are you coming here? And God already knew. And Satan answered, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And that's where he goes. He's constantly going everywhere on the planet trying to deceive people, possessing things, causing evil spirits and causing, we'll read all about that later. And Jehovah said unto Satan, so you're actually in your evil mind, you're considering my servant Job? God could actually read his mind too. He knew he was considering Job. Imagine the devil considering you. Jehovah said that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And Satan answered Jehovah and said, does Job fear God for naught? He thinks he's going to try to trick God with his little crafty sentences, which is impossible.
Right.
The only reason I'm bringing these up is I want to show Satan shows up everywhere. He's everywhere. Here in Luke it says, and the Lord said unto Saint Simon, this is Peter, same thing like he said to Job. Satan had desired to have you, Peter. Could you imagine that? That sort of gives me the chills. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Just like he considered Job, he considered Peter. Good thing we have the Father is our shield and buckler, you know? Because Yeshua says, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. So we have to make sure we have strong faith that it fails not when something comes at us. And when you're converted, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And that's a powerful little couple of sentences there, which to me goes along with Job, because Satan considered Job, and now he's desiring to have Peter. Whew, it's a scary thought. That's because Peter had such an amazing job to do for God. In the book of Ephesians, it says, in time past, we walked not according to the course of this, course of the world, right? This is after you come to the knowledge of the truth. According to the prince of the power of the air. And the prince of the power of the air is a spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And you could put the news on and see evil everywhere on the planet. Everywhere. So you know, the prince of the power of the air, Satan sends out his spirit, and he could his evil spirit, that is, and he can cause atrocities everywhere. It's all from Satan. He's the entity. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, where by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others are today. Isn't that amazing? That's horrible to think of. I was thinking about, Carrie and I were thinking about Satan on the way home last night. I was thinking, you know how like, I don't know how this came in my mind. I was thinking, you know, a spiritual entity is totally different. The spiritual world is not like, you know, like us driving from here to your house. Spiritual world, I bet it's just there, whatever that means. I don't know how that came on my mind, but it's just like if you put your finger over a dot off something, it engulfs the whole thing. It's just a spiritual world is totally different than what we can even imagine. It's just there's no time. I don't think there's any distance. There's no the spiritual world doesn't have any. It's not like what we're used to. It doesn't have the three dimensions that we're used to. It's a spiritual existence. It's just, I don't know how to even say it. You know, there's no time. Just think about it. Just with no time and no dimensions, it's just something that we can't imagine. That's where Satan comes from. He's very, in the book of Acts, we read about these two people that were once of God, Ananias and Sapphira. They actually sold a possession, and they kept back price of the money. That's fine. His wife was privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. That would have been just fine. And then Peter said unto Ananias, why had Satan filled? Satan could actually come and fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price thereof. You told us you gave us everything. You didn't give us everything. You kept back price, a half of it. If you wanted to keep half of it, that's fine. But don't tell us you gave us everything. You lied to the Holy Ghost, not to us. So Satan can actually fill your heart. And these were people of God. Ananias and Sapphira. And they were, anyway. So and don't think that just us earthlings are, I mean, Satan is so crazy. He even tried to tempt Yeshua. And when the tempter came to Yeshua, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And of course, Yeshua just rebukes him, doesn't get into a conversation with him. You know, man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, and he's the tempter. So every time you feel a little temptation come at you, or a craving for something, or a desire, be careful, because it might be the devil. In Thessalonians, Paul tells them, he says, for this cause I could no longer forbear. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and my labor of bringing the truth to you is in vain, and you all fell away. So you could be tempted right out of serving God, keeping his commandments, and tricked right out of it by some weird way. That's why we have to watch everything. And Yeshua was there in the wilderness 40 days. Satan has the audacity to try to tempt. He was tempted of Satan for 40 days. Satan tried 40 days of different ways to try to get him to fall down and worship him. Is that nutty or what? Or is that, that's the wrong word. I shouldn't say nutty. That, very arrogant, very prideful. The angels came and ministered unto Yeshua. And then we read last night, but I also seen it in Mark 4, the people by the wayside, when the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So here, that's why you have to. That's why the Bible always talks about guarding your heart. That means you better protect your heart from being infiltrated by Satan and his thoughts and his imaginations and his all kinds of weirdo things that he can come up with. He can get you to dislike somebody or a situation or who knows what for no reason. You got to guard your heart. Luke 13:16 says, and ought not this woman, whom the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had the power to bind? He bound this lady for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? So Satan could actually afflict you. Obviously, if God allows it, to see what you're made out of. It's all about if God allows it, of course. Satan can't really do anything unless God lets it happen to see what you're going to do. What are you going to do? John, in the Gospel of John, here we have even Judas, who was one of the 12, just like the covering cherub, he was one of the 12 there. Satan entered into him. So Satan can enter into you. And Yeshua said, whatever you're going to do, do quickly. You know? Satan can enter into people. That's if you get, you're so far away from God, you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't read, you don't think of God, you just think you're so, you've arrived, or you think you're just, you know, like the Bible says, you think you stand, lest you fall, be wary. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells them, he says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Messiah. You know why? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us and cause a division. We're not ignorant of his devices. And we should not be ignorant of his devices either. I guess you got to watch out for the shining, beautiful things and the sweet and pleasant things, because I think that's how he seeps in. He's not going to come with a bunch of mud, you know. Look at this. Paul, Apostle Paul says the same thing. Therefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. We don't know how. Maybe the ship broke down, or maybe... who knows what happened? And he attributes everything to either Satan or God, because I don't think anything's done by accident. I used to, it still happens once in a while, even out here in Hole-in-Wall, if I don't stop when I come right out of the sub little place where we have our property, that one vehicle comes by, and then I look both ways, even out here, and I think, there's no other vehicle for who knows how long. If I was unconscious or not thinking, I'd be gone. And I know that is Satan. I'm positive, because that's, you know, you think the intersection in time, how we, the longitude and latitude, how would we come to that point where there's only one vehicle zooming by? That's not a coincidence. It can't be. But I know we wouldn't be around if we didn't concentrate and stop. So we're not ignorant of his devices, because I know the mystery of iniquity does already work, just like Apostle Paul. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. I think God's the only one that could let until Satan's taken out of the way. But the wicked's going to be revealed, whom the Lord's going to consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's how you, the only way you can destroy Satan. The spirit of the word is spirit. That's the only way you can get Satan, by using the word against him, because the word is spirit. Don't think you could fight Satan in the flesh. It says, but the spirit of God's mouth, which is the word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. God's going to show him what brightness is. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Satan, he's everywhere. He's even going to be in the end. He's everywhere. The working of Satan is with all power and all signs and lying wonders. That's just beyond my imagination there. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And this is going to happen to the ones that are going to perish. You know why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Wow. So just think of all the lovely people out there. They're all going to perish, because they're going to be so deceived. Paul tells Timothy, for some are already turned aside after Satan. And I'm sure even today, some people already are turned aside after Satan, especially the ones that curse God and there is no God, and the ones that think they're smarter than God and wiser than God, and who knows. And there's too many verses to put down about people being possessed with devils. This is Matthew 4:24. Yeshua's fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils. They could actually recognize that. And those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Yeshua heals them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we have even a lady that became the first woman preacher after the resurrection, Mary Magdalene from Magdala. Yeshua actually cast out of her seven devils. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. So when you see people, you wonder how many devils are in them. You could see their personalities change once in a while, and the devil comes right out of them with some saying or some words after they're so sweet and kind, and you think you know them. Then they say something that's sort of like, that's the devil. In Revelation 16:13, Satan could send unclean spirits like frogs. Came out of who? The dragon, which is the devil, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So we don't know anything about this beast and false prophet yet. They haven't showed up yet, but they're going to show up in the future and deceive masses. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. They can go to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So these devils have the, like I'm telling you, it's not like we have to travel from here to, New York. They're in the spiritual realm. They just, I don't even know how to explain it. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. So when you accept the Lord and the devil is cast out of you, and you start being filled up with the goodness of God, things are great. But if you start going backsliding, then he says, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. So the devil tries to come back to you, but you can't let him in. But if you do let him in, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell inside of you. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So this think, a lot of people that knew the Lord or knew something of him, and then they forsake the Lord, they become even worse than the regular devils out there. Apostle Paul, he always puts the words right on. He goes, you got to watch out for false apostles, deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Messiah. And he says, don't marvel. Remember, Satan's not coming with the holes in his pants and mud and bleeding. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Why do you think everything is lit up in all these false pagan holidays? Because it's the illumination, the glaring of apostasy and falseness that people fall for. But it looks so nice and pretty, and the songs are going on, and it's actually a delusion. Therefore, it is no great thing that Satan's ministers... So Satan does have ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They act as the people of God, whose end shall be according to their works, of course. No one's going to escape because everyone's created beings. The only one that was never created is God. He just is, which is hard to understand. He always is. He always was. He is. Isn't that amazing? This is sort of a deep study. I wasn't thinking of this study, but that conversation last night prompted it. But I think it's good to be mindful of these things. Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians, "Finally, my brothers," and today I say my sisters too, "be strong in the Lord." So that's right there a lesson. Don't just be, you didn't fast or read or pray, or just be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then you could put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, you just may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil's going to come at you like a whirlwind. And these are quite powerful sentences, which I haven't really digested, even all the years I read them, because it's so amazing to read. I understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I understand that. But these principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are quite amazing words. I mean, if you really, as they say, Selah, and you pause and you meditate upon these words, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places. Wow. Again, we're talking a spiritual world. It's all happening. And, this little physical earth is nothing probably compared to the spiritual existence that's engulfing everything. It's just, we're just in it, It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand." You have to have the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. So that's why I really... happy that I hope I'm not going to be here in the end when all the stuff happens, the beast and the false prophet and the amazing miracles that he's going to do and the amazing deception. And even though it's on right now, you can see most of the world's deceived. Look at our congregation. You can count them on your hand or two hands. Yeah. I mean, think about the deception that's on even now. It's really more wicked than we could imagine. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So you have to make sure that you have the truth and you could verify it and you could stand on it. "Have your loins girt about with truth." Wear it. "Having on the breastplate of righteousness." So that everywhere you go, everyone sees it and you're righteous everywhere you go. Make sure your feet... wherever you go, you're always ready with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Make sure you're always ready to answer every man or woman the reason of the hope that's within you, the gospel, the truth. Make sure you're always ready to tell the truth, because you don't know if God sent them before your eyes and you just look at them and then you turn around. Maybe that's the one you're supposed to talk to, because they might just go meet the Lord and you missed it, or who knows. So it's always good to preach the gospel wherever you are. Ask God, say, "Should I talk to that person? Should I talk to this one? Is this the one, or that's the one, or who knows?" In the spiritual world, you have no idea what's going on. And above all, you got to have the shield of faith, and that's really important, because everything we're doing, you can't see. Can't see the spiritual world, Sometimes you could sense when Satan's around, and I hope sometimes you could feel the Spirit of God, but it's the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench. With the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's really important. All the things that are going to, darts are things that come at you. You'll be able to, with the shield of faith, you'll be able to ricochet them off of you, or knock them away from you. That's really important. Faith is really important. We're here by faith today that it's the Sabbath, right? We're here by faith today we're pleasing God. We're here by faith that there is a God. Like most people don't even believe it anymore. It's pretty horrible. It's pretty horrible. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which we all know is the Word of God. You got to make sure you have that Word. That's the whole reason why Satan made all those different Bible versions to give you all the dull versions of the sword. Yeah. We have to have that real sword of the Spirit. And that's the only way we could attack Satan. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. I'm always praying for you guys. I hope you pray for me too. I'm always thinking about every one of you, and I always pray for you. And I hope you pray for me too. Just like Apostle Paul, you know, told the Ephesians, and I hope they did it for him. Just think, once you're gone, you can't pray for anybody anymore. Sure. Anyway, everyone in the Bible, you know, everywhere you see, every personality in the Bible that God puts in there, they all say basically the same thing. His brother James, he says, if you just submit yourselves to God, you have to resist the devil. And if you do that, he'll flee from you. Resist him. Away from me, Satan. I'm a child of the living God. Here's some interesting information, which I thought you should know. I looked up some things this morning. I seen four matches for the word devil or devils in the Tanakh. That's all there is, believe it or not. In the whole Tanakh, there's only four places that either uses the word devil or devils. I've seen 113 matches for the word devil or devils in the Gospels and letters, 113 times. I've seen 37 matches for the word Satan in the Gospels and letters, 37 times in the Gospels and letters. In the Tanakh, there was 19 matches for Satan. In the Tanakh, there's only one match for unclean spirit. I'm going to get there. There's 20 matches for the words unclean spirits in the Gospels and letters. There's 8 matches for the words evil spirit in the Tanakh. There's only 8. And there's 6 matches for the word evil spirits in the Gospels and letters. And there's 1 match for the words, I should have put the words foul spirit in the Gospels and letters. So we see there's many places that you can, and there's so many verses you can talk about all these things. You know, if you can't add those up, there's quite a few verses. So we have a letter to the Romans. Paul writes to them, and it's very good to read, and I'll read it to you. I feel the same way. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, mark them which cause divisions. Take note of the ones that are causing, just like Satan, rebellion, sedition, you know. That's what he did in the kingdom of heaven. They weren't shooting at each other. He caused rebellion, division, just like Dathan and Abiram. Remember, they did the exact same thing. It's just things to think about, that sedition is really bad. Rebellion. Anyway, mock them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Doesn't say pray for them. Doesn't say go hang out with them. Avoid them. Like all the people that came here that have varying gospels and varying, you know, division against Paul and against, we avoid them. I'm not calling them up every day, say, how you doing? We just avoid them. We feel sad for them that Satan tricked them, because we know they that are such serve not our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, that's how you deceive the hearts of the simple. Remember, it's always by fair speeches, good words, big smiles, beautifully dressed, cheers and happiness, and music and singing and lights, we trick you. That's how we get you. I couldn't get you if I came with, you know, any other way, right? For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So make sure you can discern between good and evil, which is God, unfortunately, because of Adam and Chava, Eve, now we know between good and evil. But we can discern what's good and evil, you know? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah be with you all. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. And I just thank God for Apostle Paul's letters, because I feel they're even fitting for today, and I use pieces of them in my study. Anyway, I hope you got something out of this message today. It's not too long, but it is potent, and it is necessary to think about your enemy once in a while. We have your enemy is a roaring lion. I didn't even put that one down. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In other words, just like, you know, Peter, he's considering us, just like Ananias and Sapphira, to make sure he doesn't fill your heart. And just like Judas, he got possessed. And just like other people, Dathan and Abiram and all these other people, in the, you know, all these people that were tricked by the devil. We have a lot of examples of being tricked by the devil in the Bible. So make sure you read the Bible and you take lessons and think about that. Say, Satan tricked that person, and how did he trick him? Then you read the story, how he was tricked, you know, and or she got tricked, or he got tricked, or they got tricked, or we see the children of Israel were tricked constantly. Anyway, I hope you got some. Did you like the study?
Absolutely.
It's something to think about. I probably isn't the, you know, this study isn't by no means. We are not glorifying the devil. You all know that. We're revealing him, that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I probably have to add that verse. And something to consider, because if he could provoke David to sin, if he could trick Ananias and Sapphira to sin, he considered Peter. He wanted to have him, sift him as wheat, you know, just destroy him. I mean, let's put it this way. If Satan could trick the angels that were right in heaven where God was on the throne, I mean, how powerful is that, really? I mean, you got to think that over. If he could trick the immortal beings, what could he do to a bunch of flesh? And that's why the world is so wicked. But we thank God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who gives us the victory, that we have the power to overcome him, and we shall overcome. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua, and I thank God for you, God, you brothers and sisters that make a stand, and may God always be with you, and may God always protect us and caution us from Satan, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you, and I'll take my hand off the, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I bet Peter knew that after the Lord said he wanted to sift him as wheat. Yeah, Peter took note of that. We got to add that verse to the study. Amen. God bless every one of you. A roaring lion. Anyone still there? Shabbat Shalom.